Thanks for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts. We are in Philippians 2, and we did finish 14 and 15 last time, if you were tuning in. And it's all about a teachable spirit and how we need to shine Jesus' light. And we can't do that when we're doing our own complaining and grumbling.
So true.
Oh, so true.
And I think it was probably like two or three radio shows ago, I read the book, The Heavenly Light Chorus, which is a little children's story that I've written about the importance of shining like stars in the universe. And it is so important for us to realize that what comes out of our mouth is a reflection of what's inside our heart.
Yep.
And that's why it goes back to the attitude and having the mind of Christ, allowing those two to engage so that what we speak forth is that which will make us bright. So, in order to get us going, I would like for Grant, if you would open up on your phone, Matthew 5:14-16, and Christina, why don't you read for us the Philippians 2:14-18, or is it 16?
16.
18. Go ahead and read through that, and Emily, I'll get you to read something in a little bit. Okay? All right. So you start us off, Christina.
Okay. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
That's good. Okay, Grant, read the Matthew 5:14-16.
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Wonderful. Okay, Paul recognizes that there is a crooked and perverse generation. Isn't that crazy that that's consistent?
Back there. Yep.
It's just consistent through time and history. It is something that we deal with. And so why, like, shining like the stars in the universe? What, think of, like, light. I just want you to think on light. What does light provide us? What does it do for us in general? What does light do?
So we can see.
Okay. All right.
Happiness.
Well,
it
good.
Brightens our day.
Yeah, it does. It brightens our day. The sun.
Think of the sun
stars.
Shows.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
Provides clarity.
Clarity. Okay.
Color.
Yeah, it does. These are all good things. I was reading through, and Alford commentary says, not lights merely, but luminaries. We're to be like heavenly bodies. And David Guzik, he just summed up a really nice thing, and then I added to it. And he said, and it's some of the things that you guys said, lights used to make things evident. So the clarity, but you shine a light in, and then all of a sudden you see things you hadn't seen. And it helps you to, you know, if you need to fix your glasses to put that screw in, you can't do it in the dark. You need bright light to get up close. It helps you to get in and get the clarity that you need. It is also used to guide us. I know we, for example, when we were hiking through Hezekiah's tunnel in Israel, you're talking, this is a cave underground with water. And they said, everybody must have a flashlight. Well, I forgot my flashlight that day. I was the leader and I don't know, just it happens. But on my keychain, I have a little owl and his two little eyes go bright light and he goes, wah, or something like that. I don't know. When I push the little button, those two little pen lights in that pitch darkness gave me exactly what I needed to get through this tunnel with, you know, the crevices and the water and working my way through. It doesn't take much light. Anne Graham Lotz, I've heard her once, she shared that, like, okay, so if we're in a dark room and it's completely pitch black and we have a paper bag, and in that paper bag we have a candle, and that candle is lit, and you cannot see that light. If I rip open the paper bag and I bring out the light, what will happen to the darkness?
goes away.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It dispels. Mm-hmm. Always. Light always dispels darkness. She said, if we were in a well-lit room and we have pitch dark inside the paper bag and we rip open the bag and we let out the pitch dark, what happens?
Light takes over.
Light takes over. Isn't that amazing? That is the reason why we are called to be the lights in this generation, because light takes over. So if we are grumbling, complaining, we are not acting in the mind of Christ, we are not behaving as the children of God, we will not be able to dispel the darkness because we're not being the light. And so light is used to warn. Guzik says it is also used, Emily, to bring cheer, because it brightens. Our bodies actually need this region. This radio show is recorded in Omaha, Nebraska. This region is known for being low in D3. D3 is what we get from the sun. And because we don't get as much sun exposure, people are low in what they need. And people actually get depressed if they don't have their D3, because light cheers the body. It actually lifts the body. Lights are used to make things safe. You know, our campus has lights strategically placed all over so that at nighttime there's no dark spaces. And I wrote down, light gives revelation. It just gives revelation. So if I am willing to go in the attitude of Christ, and obviously a spirit of humility and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, and I am in a perverse, crooked situation, they can't help but see Jesus. I honestly don't have to do a whole lot, because he's going to do what he's going to do through me, because he's in me, if I'm allowing myself to be pure and blameless. And the crazy thing is for those that are perverse and crooked, that often means that they will run. They don't want to be in my presence. They don't want to be my friend. They don't want to be near it, because it's scary. It's a terrifying thing if you're in the dark.
Yep. I don't understand it.
Right. And then there's the light. So one of the tricks that they have, so for example, let's say you're in a dark space and all of a sudden light shows up and you can't see because there's so much light. The trick is they say, close your eyes and count to 10. And that allows your brain to adjust to the fact that light has turned on and it's actually easier for you to see. We have to allow the perverse and crooked generation to get accustomed to our luminary light. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of profound. Here's a quote from Guzik. He says, Paul knew that the lights were in a bad place. Instead of excusing the lights for not shining, Paul knew that their position made it all the more important that they shine. Being in a dark place is greater incentive to shine. Mm-hmm. So our public schools, right?
Yes.
Yes. And allowing them to see that it's Jesus and not us is critical. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I think that's super important, like just as Christians going to public schools, because there's so many people there that have extremely broken homes and just super need God. And I know I think it can be very hard sometimes to not focus on ourselves and like how, you know, unpleasant school is sometimes. But I need to just like work hard to, you know, radiate love and light to those people that need it. I don't know. But
and, you know, and not to feel guilt. It's more of an encouragement. Mm-hmm. And so I don't remember if it was when the radio show that you were on, whenever the word definition for encouragement has condemnation in it. Were you on the radio show when I did that?
I
can't say to a person, you need to read your Bible, without it revealing inside them what they're going to think. So if a person says, you're right, I do need to read my Bible, or somebody else might say, who are you to say I need to read my Bible? You could actually see that encouragement be a condemnation, depending on what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so be encouraged by it, not discouraged that you haven't, you know.
Yeah.
So allow it to help grow you for it. Emily?
Just one thing that kind of popped into my head is like how every day is like a new day, and the start of the day is when the light comes. And so like just like the sun starts a new day for us, like God, when we let him in and let his light shine through us, can start a renewal through our lives. And just the forgiveness that he gives is so equivalent to like starting a new day.
That's really good.
You know, and I think we need to pray for the teachers at public schools. I was a public school teacher. Because they're in a battleground, you know, and there are Christian teachers, you know, in public schools. I know a lot of Christians, but it's tough out there.
It is very hard. And, you know, in the Christian schools just as well, because the attack is on because it's a
everywhere.
Christian education, right? Just Christian leaders. Did you have any thoughts, Grant?
Well, with being a light in, like, you know, a dark place and how that's where we need to be, it's the kind of thing, you know, so many people nowadays that are Christian are, like, in a Christian bubble. And, like, I myself am like this, too. Like, I go to a Christian school, go to church, and, you know, like, live in a Christian home. So, like, everywhere in my life is, like, Christian-centered. But a light in a lit room doesn't really, like, do anything. Like, if we're just in this room right now, which is lit up by the lights above us, and we light a candle, it's like, okay, cool, there's a candle there now, it's not doing anything. But if we're in a dark room, like, it just has so much more it can do and so much it can more it can accomplish. And that's actually its purpose, not to be in a lit room, but to be in darkness so that it can light it up.
That's good, Grant. You know, we've got to remember that we can't stay on our little bubbles, like you said, because usually our bubbles don't need the help because everybody is shining Jesus and the bright light, right?
So what kind of things would you recommend people do?
Well,
problem that's solving.
It's a hard one to come up with on the spot.
What do you and your friends want to go do?
Oh, well, we've been planning on going and doing some street sharing or just like going out. Not exactly like street sharing, letting it happen, but like asking people, you know, if they need prayer for stuff and, you know, just trying to see just about that, because it's instead of going out and saying like, hey, you need Jesus, let us tell you about him. It's like, hey, we care about you. Is anything we can like pray about you for? And then that usually will like open up the door to talk about more stuff. And so, you know, from there you can tell them about God. And I guess that's one way that we've been trying to set up so that we can be light in different areas.
Yeah, and a lot of people like want to be around the light because it like illuminates warmth and stuff. And so like to show off love and compassion and care for those people, it's like being the warmth and they'll want to be around you more, and then you can open conversation to like Jesus and they can see him through you.
Very good. You guys make me happy. Okay, verse 16 says, as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on the day, Christ, that I did not run or labor in vain. Why do you think he wants them to hold on to the word of life? How does that make a difference?
Like with the be like blameless and pure part earlier, like that's how we can get close to achieving that, is by keeping, I don't know, his word, like holding it firmly, like keeping it in our minds constantly. But
Because if you're in the word, then you can share the word.
Okay.
But you can't share it if you don't hold on to it.
So what does that look like for us? How is everybody in this room holding on to the word? What do?
Reading the Bible.
You know, and following it.
Right. Exactly. And following it.
Like everything James talks about, it's like, you know, like making sure you know the stuff the Bible says, but then actually applying it to your life and not just leaving it there, sitting like, okay, cool, I know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually acting on it.
Sorry, that reminds me of a video that they played in Sunday school last week where, like, a dad told his daughter to clean her room. And she was like, okay, Dad, I heard what you said, and now I can say it to you in Greek. My friends and I are going to do a study on cleaning our rooms, but I'm not going to actually clean my room. So it's like she knows it, and he like kind of related that to how a lot of times we know so many verses and we have it memorized. We'll study it, but do we actually do it? No.
And that is the key.
Yeah.
If you know the verse, you need to be able to apply it.
We went to Washington, D.C. Sorry, Emily, I didn't mean to kick you. We went to Washington, D.C. this summer because Grant's art won a competition. And on the airplane on the way back, I was so exhausted because we walked over 5 miles in like 3 full days and then 2 half days. It was crazy. Like 52 miles over that short period of time. and I fell asleep. And I woke up, and I could hear my husband talking to this young man next to him. And just my heart was, like, instant, because he's the same age as my college students kind of thing. And he was sharing that he had graduated, and he's an accountant, and he is feeling called by God to go to seminary, and that he is called to be a pastor. And so I, like, snapped up and was like, oh, somebody to invest in. Oh, discipling. I need to get into this. And so I'm listening to the conversation, and Greg's asking him questions, and I start asking some questions. And eventually I get around to, so have you read the Bible? He's looking at going to seminary. Well, you know, he has, like, his little devotional that he does and different things that he shared. I'm like, have you read it, though? Genesis to Revelation, have you read your Bible? And then finally he admitted to me he had never read his Bible.
I've had that happen, too.
From cover to cover, never.
Or never read it.
Well, no, but he's reading it, but it's like a verse here, it's a topic here, you know, a topical kind of thing. It's not getting the full measure of what God has from Genesis to Revelation. And I told him, I said, if you're going to pastor, you can't give what you do not have. Do not graduate from seminary without having read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
That's right.
My husband said, well, from that point on, Tara's mouth opened up, and she just kind of threw up on the boy.
Threw up on the boy.
I'm like, oh, was it that bad? And he goes, no, I didn't mean it that way. But I literally, like, started going in and trying to disciple him, to teach him what it means to hold firmly to the Word of God. If I am only getting a verse in a devotional that takes me 1 second to read the verse and 3 minutes to read the devotional, that's my level of spiritual light.
Yeah.
My light will represent what I have taken in. That's why holding firm means I've got to get into it. Not just the Greek. I would even say, just set that aside.
I was gonna say,
and read it. Know the context of why God created us, how he created us, and how he worked with the nation of Israel, how he interacts with us, how he rescued them, delivered them, provided for them, sent them leaders, and how they sinned and they fell short, and he still forgave them and continued to love them and continued to provide for them, and loved us so much that he sent his own son to die on the cross for us, that we would have eternal life, and then sends us these disciples to teach us the things that have happened that Jesus have done. He loves us, and that measure will not be known to the full grasp if we have not taken on the Word of God ourselves and held firm. So the challenge for this show is, if you haven't begun reading your Bible from cover to cover, contact us. I'll show you how to do it. God bless.